Certainly our brother who'll stand before us here tonight really needs no introduction. He's been in the service of the Lord long before I entered these doors and entered into the waters of baptism, and he's familiar to every one of us. Frequently, sometimes in jest, and maybe inside with a little bit of sarcasm sometimes when we think of our brother Hubert preaching, we think of the length and his endurance to give us the word. And yet, I ask that you look upon that and realize what I've realized, that it comes from his passion and his desire to be able to bring the word of the Lord to us and his enthusiasm for that calling that he has. And as we come here this night, if maybe you're thinking as our brother stands before us and thinking about where the clock will be when he finishes, think about the reason you're here this night. Have you come selfishly for some little tidbit to walk away just to feel good? Or have you come to worship the Lord? Have you come this night to come before God and hear what he has to say? And when you look upon the work week and all the hours that you'll spend in the workplace and in the home, are you not willing this night maybe to give an extra 15 or 20 minutes that we might be richly fed this night. I know our brother has a desire and a zeal and a passion for this time that he's been given to present a message, and I hope that each of us, we have that same enthusiasm, and that you would put aside those cares and those concerns and those clutters in your mind and focus wholly upon the Word this night. I give to you our brother and evangelist, Hubert Yates.
Don't want you to worry about a thing. I'm going to start closing right now. I would also like to thank the sisters for that beautiful song. That's what we're doing here tonight, is to renew our thoughts and desires and to recognize His glory, and that He's worthy of it. And, you know, it's something that we want to think about continually. You know, it's an odd thing. You know, people all over the world will worry about insurance. And they'll worry about their car insurance because some officer might come along and stop them if they didn't have any, and haul them downtown or write them a ticket or something. And, you know, they're worried about insurance, of course, for hospitalization and all different kinds of things. And we have an insurance for eternal life. And that's in the Lord. And He writes our contract. And a lot of it has been written and preserved by His holy hand so that we could have it, so that we could understand, so that we could know. And His insurance is sure and true. The insurance that He has is eternal life, and there's no body to back down and say, well, you know, I think you missed this or you did that or one thing and another. You know, we don't want to miss a payment. In other words, we want to live our life to where we have a light that will glorify our Father which is in heaven. And each day that we live is a day that we have an opportunity to pay the payment on the gift of eternal life to His grace, to His love and tender compassion. You know, it's by Him. I want to thank Betty for this song. She has a habit of picking songs that has to do with my sermons, and I don't ever tell her what they are. But this, we have an anchor, and we do have an anchor. We have an anchor, and the children of men, all down through the generations of time, has had an anchor. An anchor that would keep the soul. And it's the same individual. It's the same one that created us and breathed the breath of life in us. It's the same one that preserved the holy records so that we can go to them and study them and learn of Him and His Father and of the things that's essential for our soul's welfare. The same. And you know, as I go here, you know, and we sang where the breakers tolled, when the reefs were near. You know how true that is. That breaker is the Word of God. It warns us when we're going in a path that would cause a destruction, the sinking of our ship, that would cause us to have problems. The Holy Scripture is the one that tells us where the breakers are at, where the buoys are at in the depth of water that we're traveling in, and what is necessary for us to do. And you know, you can tell by this breaker, by that holy word, because it warns us. And you know, those breakers, I've seen those breakers many a time when I was in the service for the 4 years. And a lot of times the breakers would save you from sinking because they'd show you where the reefs were at. And even in the fog, even when it seemed like you couldn't see, you could feel the swells getting bigger. And you knew when the swells were getting bigger, that you were getting close to something that you didn't want to connect with. You knew you had to go in very gently and firmly and maybe put somebody up on the bow to check and see what kind of depth of water you have, and with a lead line, or to go up with a boat hook and reach down in the water and see if you could ease in where you were supposed to go to keep you from ramming something and sinking. Because, you know, we were out there trying to help people that were sunk and help people that were broke down. That was our job. And you know, the Lord's job was to come to help you and I. He came to give His life, that you and I might have life. He laid down His life, it says, for His friends. And of course, that's what we always want to be, is His friend. He laid down His life for His friends. And how important it is that we remember that. And He did it willingly. He wasn't forced. He did it willingly. And you know, He doesn't force you and I to obey Him. He doesn't force you and I to go out and to study and to seek and to pray and try to put our life in order that we'd have a light that would glorify Him, that we would have a life that would might draw others to Him. He's not going to force us. He says we have our own free agency, that we're in charge of our own ship, that each one of us is plotting our own course to eternal life. And how important it is that as we're plotting that course, that we remember that in the world around us, there's deviation and there's variation, those things that would draw you away and take the needle of that true north, or take the needle to that kingdom of heaven and turn it about that you would miss the mark. And it's important that we don't miss the mark. It's important that we be able to chart our course through the Holy Word and know that we can chart the course and reach the goal that we have set for ourselves if we have chosen to take on Christ and put Him on and live for Him. I want to start with a scripture today, this evening, I should say, in Colossians. I wasn't sure that Glenn wasn't going to get into some of my material here this morning, but and I want to go there at the second, the third chapter of Colossians, and I'm going to read the first, the first four verses. He says, "If then ye be risen with Christ." Now that's a serious thing, that we be risen with Christ. "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." We just heard about His glory and that He was worthy. We just heard it beautifully sung, how important that is. "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." You know, we have a habit of thinking we need things that's material that we don't need. We have a habit of worrying about different things. We'll worry about our insurance. We'll worry about the insurance on our children. We'll worry about all different kinds of things. And we'll worry about whether the tire keeps going flat, or we worry about so many different things. But sometimes all in all our worry in the world, we forget. We forget to take our time with our Lord. We forget to take time to study and to pray, to visit with Him, and to tell Him we recognize our weakness and our nothingness and how important it is that He will guide and direct us and hold our hand and lead us. And of ourselves we can do nothing, that we're constantly dependent upon Him. And we need Him every hour, every moment of the hour, to direct our lives, to help us, to support us, to put a shield before us, to support us from the power of the evil one, the adversary, the destroyer of souls, the one who is against all righteousness, that we are to go and we to follow after them, that we are to follow after the Lord. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the world, on the earth, excuse me. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, I want you to listen to that. When Christ, who is our life, don't ever forget that. He is our life. He is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. How important it is that we remember that in Christ is our life. In Christ is the written contract that if we believe in him and obey him, that we can have eternal life with him and his Father. In Christ is where our blessings come. In Christ is where he tells us, you know, that if you're sick, you call for the elders and those with faith. He says that if you pray, he says, with faith believing for those things that are good, he says, it shall be given unto you. You know, there's so many things there that's important for us to know that our life, whether we like it or not, a lot of people say, well, I don't like to be told what to do. And you know, but our life hinges on Jesus Christ our Lord. Our life hinges on what he told us what to do. Our life hinges on what he told us not to do. That's how serious it is. It's that serious every moment of the day that we get up, and every day of the year or every day of the week, there isn't a day that we're not under his care. There isn't a day that we're not under his direction, or should be. There isn't a day that he shouldn't be telling us, and that we shouldn't listen, that we should lend an ear so that we could hear his voice and his direction, that we would know where to walk, that we could recognize, even in the fog, that we could recognize by holding to that rod of iron, the Word of God, we could continue the course to the Tree of Life. We could continue the path that walked beside the river of filthy waters in the depth of hell. We could still walk and still go and still know the words of the Lord because we're holding to that Word. We're holding to that rod of iron, and that rod of iron is directing our footsteps, even though we can't see. It's directing our footsteps. You know, we have to set our affection on above. There's not a thing in the world that we have that it's in your home or in your car or your automobile or whatever you have, I don't care what you got. There's not anything that can't be taken away tonight, tomorrow. Somebody steal it. It could be burnt down. It can be blown up. You know, we can be like Job. We can lose everything we got in one quick, easy lesson. But you won't lose what you store in the kingdom of heaven in that storehouse. You won't lose a righteous walk in your Lord. Even if they took your life, you won't lose it. If they took your life for the Lord, you'd gain it. So that's how important it is to us to know that there's an individual that's writing our contract of eternal life and our insurance. And the only difference there is of the things of the world is that that individual that's writing it is honest, is holy, is loving, is compassionate, is merciful, gentle, and kind, and forgiving. and how great that is. And we each, from time to time, we need that forgiveness. We need to have those things that will wake us up and set us back on the course and say, whoa, wait a minute here. Your grip is getting a little, you know, you're not holding tight enough. You're on that rod of iron. Your grip is starting to slip a little bit. You better get a better hold and grip down and hold on. You better exercise the grip in the Word. You better know it. You better work at it because that's your contract. That's the contract to eternal life, is that Word of God. That's the contract that puts us in the position that we can indeed be blessed by the grace of God. That's where it puts us. It puts us in a position where the cleansing blood of the Lamb will wash us clean. Without it, we're not clean. And we wouldn't be clean. I'd like to go to 1 John. And I'm going to go to the 1 John. I'm going to go to the second chapter of 1 John. And I want to read the 15th through the 17th verses. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." If the world is more important to us than our Lord, you know, we're in bad shape. We're in bad shape. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." It's not of the Father. It's of the world. And you know, we have to be careful that we don't get caught up into that and think, oh, we need this or we need that. Or, you know, boy, that's more important than going to church. You know, I better do that. I'd rather do that. And you know, there was a period of time. There's a period of time in my life when I'd go fishing and I'd saddle up a horse and take some stuff and I'd pack off over the mountain and I'd hunt all over the place and I'd do everything. And there was a period of time when I wasn't at church. And you know, it was shame on me because I was missing. But today, I still love to fish, and I still love to hunt, but I still love more to be in the congregation of my brothers and sisters and hear them speak of the Lord and of His love and of the way to eternal life. To be able to read maybe the fine print, we might say, in the contract of eternal life, wherein that we might, through the studies like Glenn this morning, bring out different things, and our brother Gordon and different other, as they teach and one thing and another, and as the testimonies come in, that we sometimes recognize and we see more of that fine print. How many times have you read a scripture and you've read it several times, and each time you read it, you get more out of it? It means more. And how true that is. That's that Holy Spirit that's teaching us all things whatsoever that the Lord says that I have commanded there in the 14th chapter of St. John, that He'll teach us if we'll ask. If we'll ask, if we'll seek, He will teach us. He will direct us in the path in which we should trod. "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. A thief can't steal it. Somebody can't burn it down. They can't blow it up. They can't take it from you because you lived it. You've lived it for Christ. You've lived it for yourself. You've lived that life that's required. And you know how beautiful it is to know that somebody can't just come along and say, well, you know, I'm just going to mark all that out. No, they can't mark it out. Because the Lord knows us. He knows our thoughts. Sometimes that's a little embarrassing if you get thinking about it. He knows our thoughts. He knows the desires of our heart. He knows what is important to us. You know, we might say, oh, yeah, you know, it's really important to be over there at that prayer service. It's really important, but really, I think I'll sneak out and I'll go down and I'll do this and that. You know, it's not what you say. A lot is also what you do. Well, I know the Scripture says you don't take the Lord's name in vain. I know He says that you don't bear a false witness. You don't do things. Yes, there's things that you say, but you know, you can say one thing and live another. And if we say one thing and live another, and it isn't living according to Christ, we're in trouble. And we can't hide from Him. We can't hide from that power. We can't hide from that written record. It doesn't make any difference whether we're out at the barn milking a cow, or whether we're feeding the chickens, or whether we're at the riverside fishing, or whether we're at work or down in the deepest mine there is, a mine in coal, or whatever the case may be. You can't hide from the Lord. He's there. He knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows what we've done. He knows whether we have sought forgiveness. He knows whether we have given forgiveness. He knows those things. Because it's just as important in your life and mine to forgive as it is to ask for forgiveness. Because He tells us if we don't forgive, then we don't receive it either. That's important to our life, is to forgive. Just like it's important in our life for Christ to forgive us of our imperfections and our humanness. I want to go over to James, the first chapter of James. And I'll read one verse. And you know, throughout the world, you know, you have people say, you know, oh, I love Jesus, and oh, I love this, and oh, you know, amen, and you know, blessed Jesus, and they're saying a whole lot of things, and then on the other side of the counter, why, they're raping your children. On the other side of the counter, they're living an ungodly life. On the other side of the counter, they're homosexuals. On the other side, here they're doing the things that are against the law of God. And yet they stand and they bear witness, oh yes, and one thing and another. You know, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing sometimes for the world to catch up on, because they think, oh boy, you know, listen to what that brother said or what that sister said. But you know, sometimes look at their life, and boy, there's a lot of the old world today that's professing Christianity is living just exactly the opposite. That's where we come in. Our heritage are to be the sons and daughters of God. Our heritage is to live the life that He has prescribed for us while we're here on this earth. Why we're in the flesh. That's our challenge. That's our heritage. So that the world would know that He has a people here below that loves Him and honors His holy name, as you heard sung. And recognize indeed they have to be obedient unto Him. The 27th verse, first chapter of James. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. That's the pure religion, is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And I'm here to state to you, when you're in the working place, when you're in school, wherever you're at, that's a chore in itself, is to keep yourself unspotted from the world, because There's trash going on all around you. Foul language. Dirty jokes. All kinds of stuff that's going around you. Sometimes you can get away from it and sometimes you can't. And so it's a chore sometimes for us to keep ourselves or to shut our ears or to get away from those things and not get caught up into that, that we would be spotted with the world. That we should keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That we shouldn't get tied up into those kind of things and get into things or get in the habit of doing the same thing, but that we should tell them about that. You know, I don't like you to use the Lord's name in vain. When you're around me, please go someplace else if you've got to do that. You know, I don't want to hear dirty jokes. I don't want that stuff. It's hard. It's hard because we're all caught up into it. And old Satan's right there, boy, just whispering in your ear, and he's got a lot of things on his mind, and the things he has on his mind is to destroy our soul. That's what he has on his mind. He's an enemy, the scripture says, of all righteousness. Which means if you and I are trying to walk righteously, he's our enemy. If you and I are trying to walk righteously, he's right there to destroy us. Wherever there's good that's going to be done, you can bet your bottom dollar he's there to try to turn it and head it off at the pass. Because he don't want any good done. He doesn't want anybody to stand up against him. The scripture says if we are walking properly and walking righteously, that Satan would have to flee before us. Because he would recognize he has no power over us. And he can't as long as we're walking with Christ. He can't have power over us. We can overcome him. We can rebuke him and tell him to get hence behind us. We have the power to do that through Christ. We can't do it of ourselves, but we can certainly do it with our Lord because he has the power. He has the power to do just exactly that. The same one that's going to bind him. When he comes and set him in chains for 1,000 years, the same one. If we walk with him, he has the same power to bind him away from us. To hold him back to where we can overcome him. The same power. I want to read the 12th chapter of Romans. The first couple verses, he says, I beseech you, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the miracles, by the mercies of God, excuse me, ye are present. Your bodies are living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, by setting your mind and your heart to desires right, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You do that by the renewing of mind. Now, I know that as we get into the scriptures, like if we got over into the second book of 2 Corinthians, and we went over there in the 11th chapter and the 13th through the 15th verse, it tells you that that Satan transformed himself as the light of an angel, and his ministry transformed themselves as the ministry of Christ. And one thing and another. But when you get into the scriptures and you look up those words, there's two different words in Greek there. One of them, the first one over here in the 12th chapter of Romans, it has to do with the use of the change of your moral character for the better. The one over there, it talks about to ensure transforming. It says to assure appearance of another. To try to take on somebody else's place and say, hey, I'm here and I'm there. Of course, we know what the scripture says. We know the Book of Mormon tells you that rather than he would take on the light of an angel, which Satan cannot, the Book of Mormon tells you that he would take on nigh under the light of an angel, which is true. The devil can't hold a heavenly light. he was cast out. But he can hold enough light to deceive us. Like the Lord says in the 24th chapter of Matthew, that in the period of time that we're living in, listen to this, young people, because you're living in it and you're going to be living in it longer than I am, most likely. He says that unless those days are shortened, Satan will show great signs and wonders that if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. You want to be one of the very elect, Jace? Well, you better. No, the very elect. We want to be a very elect. We don't want to be deceived. We do not want to be led astray. We want to have that discernment, that gift of discernment that comes through the power of God, through His Holy Spirit, to give us discernment, that we might be able to discern the spirits, discern those things. That's why He tells us to try the spirits, so that we would recognize by what source it has come. Has it come from the evil source, or has it come down from the Father of lights? That spirit that gives you the warmth, the uplift, the strength, and you feel it. Or is it that cold spirit that comes up and comes upon you? Makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck. There's a difference, a vast difference. And you know, the world continues to bring these things out one right after another, that the world has an imitation of Christ. You know, everybody said, we got Christ over here. And of course, we were warned about that in the 24th chapter of Matthew. And they said, oh, Christ is here and he's out in the desert. Oh, Christ, and we got Christ and this and that. And he tells us, go not. He says, go not. Because, you know, the world, they have a hard time with that Christ that's been taught throughout all the places throughout the world where they don't teach the truth. They teach a Christ that is artificial, it's counterfeit, it's not real, it's a sham, it's bogus. They teach Christ, they teach the things that Christ says you can do or you can't do, or that don't make any difference. Go ahead and all will be fine. And you know, it's just like the flowers that you see around here in the church. And just like this here, you know, it's beautiful to the light, to the eyes, but it's a counterfeit. It has no life. And it can't give life. But the true Christ isn't a counterfeit. And He has the power to give life. He has the power to strengthen us. He has the power to enlighten our minds. He has the power to give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that we seek. He has the power to reveal the things that are true and wholesome and essential for our soul's welfare. He has that power. He isn't an imitation that you have and say, yeah, there he is. Boy, ain't that looking nice. You know, when Jim and I was up in Nova Scotia, we went down to a church with some people when we were there talking to them, and they invited us to their church, and we went down and we went in, and they had a life-size painting up front right there of Christ. And he stood there, and his robe was coal black. And when you walked in there, you could just feel it, the hair just come up on your neck. And they had Christ there standing in a coal black robe, and boy, they were just really going at it. And, you know, they had a hard time because Jim and I started praying against the things there. And the preacher said he didn't know what was the matter, but he couldn't even dance for him today. And we shut him down by our prayer sitting in the congregation. And boy, he was having a heck of a time. But you know that the false Christ that they've been talking about are all over this world, and we got to look out. Because if that Christ or if that place or whoever it is, if they're not teaching according to the rod of iron, the Word of God, and the two books that He's preserved for us, wherein that we can come to the knowledge of the truth and know our God and to know our Lord and to know what's required of us, we're in trouble. And you know, it's an odd thing, but if you're studying the Holy Scripture, you can go someplace else and you sit down and some of the things they teach you might be true. But it doesn't take very long that if you've been studying and they get to going, you say, whoa, that's not what I read in my book. Because they start teaching a Christ that's a counterfeit. That he's not keeping his word. That he's changed. That he's altered the Scripture. That he's altered the way that he's thinking. That he's altered the way that he thinks that you can live and be all right. That's the danger point. That's the danger point. Because there are no alterations in the contract to eternal life. They've been established for centuries, over the generation of time. They were established from the very beginning. And oh yeah, you know, some will say, well, they had a Mosaic law, you know, that it was different than our New Testament law. But go over in the New Testament law when the Apostle Paul was talking over there in Galatians. And why did that Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, come? He said it was added because of transgression. What was it added to? It was added because of transgression. Because the people rebelled, the house of Israel rebelled, and today the Gentiles are rebelling, along with the rest of them, as a whole. That's why it's important for you and I to lay hold and not be spotted to the world. To lay hold of that contract that Christ gave us, of that life more abundantly, of the joys, of the peace. He didn't say you wouldn't have problems. He didn't say that my truck wouldn't break down. He didn't say we wouldn't have problems over the time. No, he didn't tell us that. But you know, I've seen a lot of problems. And I saw a lot of problems in time past when my mom and dad was alive. And my dad would just laugh and go on about his business. You know, you can take a lot of problems and a lot of things if you're with Christ. And you can have a peace that Christ says that I give unto you, not as the world give I. My peace I give unto you. You can have the spiritual peace, the calmness of your heart and of your soul and of your mind in Jesus Christ. And you know that he's looking out after you. You know that he's capable of taking care of you. Whatever happens to come along, he's capable of taking care of you. And you know, I can look right out there and I see my brother sitting there, and I saw that old motorhome of mine fall right down on his chest. Because the thing just sunk right on down into the asphalt when we had a blowout going on in. We was heading out for Idaho. We was up in Kansas and the thing just dropped right down on his chest. But he's here today. You know, he can step in. He doesn't always, but he can step in. He has that power. He has that power. And you know, we can depend on that power. And I know that a lot of us do, because when we start to get sick or our children get sick, we ask to have them be administered to. And you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I think I'd take mine to the doctor. Well, I don't mind them taking to the doctor, but I'll tell you what, I'd like to take them to the great physician first. Because a lot of times when you do that, there's no need for a human doctor. And so it's important that we realize that he is there, and that we can depend on him. I want to turn over in the Book of Mormon. I want to go to the third book of Nephi, fifth chapter. I'll probably read the 11th and the 12th verse. And this is when Christ came to the people on this land, and they heard the voice, and finally they looked up into heaven, and the Lord God the Father said to them, it says, this is my beloved Son. in whom I'm well pleased. In whom I have glorified my name, he says, hear ye him. And you know, it's the same thing over there in the 17th chapter of Matthew, there in the fifth verse, you know, what the transfiguration. Remember that, they were going to build some altars there, and they were going to do this, and they were going to do that for Elijah and for Moses. And immediately Christ was before them, transfigurated, and the Father in heaven said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. That's what I have to say today. Hear ye him. Hear the Son of the living God. Listen to him. Hear him. Hear his voice as he speaks to us through the Holy Scripture. Recognize his voice. So when someone begins to teach something odd and opposite of the Holy Scripture, you would immediately catch it and say, that's not my Lord. Something wrong somewhere. He didn't say that. He didn't do that. Because the world says, he was married. The world says that he really didn't die. He just hung on the cross and they doped him. You know, the world teaches a lot of things that's a lie. And those of us who've had the opportunity to come to the restored gospel of Christ and the opportunity to witness so many times the Spirit, the healing, the things that has taken place, we know that what the Lord teaches is true. And it's essential for our soul's salvation. Here he tells them, it comes to pass there in the 11th verse, that he stretched forth his hand and he spake unto the people, saying, behold, I am Jesus Christ, whom the prophets testified should come into the world. And behold, I am the light. And the life of the world. And I have drank out of the bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. You know, when it says he come and he died for the world and he come to take the sins of the world, he's not talking about your motorcycle. He's not talking about your skateboard. He's not talking about your truck or your house. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. We're that world that he's talking about. We're the ones he's worried about. We're the ones that he gave his life for, so that we would be able to take up our Lord and put him on and do the things that he requires so that we could have eternal life. My truck's not going to have eternal life. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about your fruit tree out in the yard. He's talking about the soul of the children of men. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about you and me, that he drank of the bitter cup for you and for me, that we could have life. That's what he's talking about. That's why we have to get into things. And like our brother Glenn said today, you know, sometimes you have to look at it and you come to the conclusion what he's saying there. He's talking spiritually. Oh, yeah, he uses, like Glenn said this morning in the Sunday school class, he uses sheep and goats, he uses fig trees, he uses fruits, he uses all kinds of stuff because that's what they understood. Well, today he has provided the Holy Word for you and I so that we could understand what is essential. So we could understand this contract of eternal life that God has given to each one. And he says that he's going to draw all men unto him, and that everyone, you know, is going to have an opportunity to this contract. But it depends on whether they want to read it and take it and accept it and apply it or not. That has to do with you and I. Whether I want to or whether I don't want to, that has to do with us. There's no way out. We're either going to apply it or we're going to suffer the loss. It's either one or the other. And we can say whatever we want to. But I'm here to state to you that in my experiences and as the time that I put and one thing and another and the things that I've experienced and witnessed and seen, I know one thing I don't want to do. I don't want to suffer the loss. And I can't think of anybody that I can ever think of in my life I'd rather go live with than our Lord and our God. He has shown so much mercy and love to us. Even in our imperfection, we have been the recipients of His love, His tenderness, His strength, Him calling us back, Him endeavoring to help us so that we would walk justly before Him, so that He could tell us, enter in, my faithful servant. That's the desire of His heart. And that should be the desire of our heart. To be able and to be worthy to hear that voice say, enter in, my faithful servant. That's what we want. And you know, I've never met anybody in my life that I wanted to not have them hear that. You know, I can't possibly, when the scripture says there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, you know that has to be true. If a person stands before the judgment bar of Christ and he says, you didn't make it, buddy. You've done everything you wasn't supposed to. You didn't follow the contract I sent. You didn't do anything. You're on your way out. Boy, you know, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to think what they must feel to know that they're sent away from their God to be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know, that's hard to imagine. It's hard to comprehend. And yet it's going to happen. To those who refuse to take upon them the name of Christ, refuse to pull away from the world and be unspotted from the world, that refuses to follow the course that He has plotted for us. And He's already plotted the course. He's plotted the course of eternal life in these two books for us. Here's your course. And in them, He did the work that I used to have to do myself. He did all the variation and deviation. He told us of the pitfalls of the world and the things to look out for and what would take us off our course of eternal life. He's told us those things in these books so that we wouldn't miss the mark. So that we were sure that we were sure that we were in the right blocks for the goal signal for the race of life. That we were running on the right track for eternal life. That was the purpose of it. That's why He done that. I'm going to read a scripture. I guess better close. I want to read a scripture in the 16th chapter of Matthew. It's a familiar scripture to each of us. I will start. Twenty-fourth verse. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. And you know, over in Luke in the 9th chapter, He says, if you come after Me, He says, take up your cross and follow Him. He says, daily. And you know, that's what it is. It's daily. It's every moment of our life. It's every day. It's every day we need to take up our cross and follow Him. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for My sake shall find it. Now listen closely. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What would it profit If we gain the whole world and you lost your soul, this world's only going to last a certain length of time. Even if the Lord let you live until He came. That's a vast difference from all eternity to all eternity. Just think about it for a little bit. You know? And so if you gained the whole world and lost your soul, what good would it be to us? Of what value would it be? What value would it be to be able to go someplace and to hear people mourning and crying and gnashing of teeth and having a hard time from all eternity to all eternity? Boy, that don't sound like a good place to me. That don't sound like a good place to me at all. And so as we come together and as we get the opportunity to come together, we must realize that this race that we're in is for eternal life. And we have to realize how important that is to us. And you know, if it's not really important to us, you better start praying that it'll get to be. You better start praying that it'll get really important, that it will be the first and foremost in your life, is to live the life that will allow us to go and to live with our Lord and our God. We better get serious about that. Because, you know, as we go along, I've said it before and I'll say it again, how much more time you got? Who here in this room can hold up your hand and tell me you're going to be here next year? Who in this room can hold up your hand and just swear up and down you'll be here tomorrow morning? Not a one of you. Neither can I. And so it's time that we realize that we have to prepare ourselves, that we have to take this contract that Christ gave us and we have to apply it to our life to have eternal life with Him. We have to apply it to our life. That's our insurance. Our insurance is if we do that and endure to the end, He says, the same shall be saved. Man, what a rider on that, huh? Can you beat that? That if we endure to the end, the same shall be saved? Boy, what a promise. And what a beautiful gift that we get. And how beautiful it is that we have a right to come under the grace of God and know that He is and that we can live with Him. God bless us to that end.